Good morning. Let's turn to Luke 15. Luke 15, continuing in our study of the parable of the lost son. Now we remember last as we spoke that the lost son had absolutely squandered his father's inheritance. He was broken, he was humbled, and he was even just longing to eat the slop of the swines that he cared for. But then he came to himself. Remember that? And he repented and he sought to return home just to be one of his father's hired servants. So let's pick up the parable in verse 20. Luke 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. So firstly, we see the heart of the father in this story. The father, as we discussed last time, he could have not given his son half the inheritance, right? He could have ran after his son to the far country, but instead he chose a different path. He let his son go, and he let God do the deeper work. See, this father was wise. He was faithful. He was hopeful. He was trusting in God, for he knew all of his prodding and urging and compelling of his son would be of no effect against a hard heart, and his efforts worthless without the work of God. For only God softens hearts. For it is I, says the Lord, who will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So instead of running after his son, the father prayed and waited patiently for his son to repent, because he knew his son had a soul. He was not a lost sheep. He was not a lost coin. He was a person. He was a soul made in the image of God. And his repentance and his confession of his sins by his own accord to seek reconciliation was the best path for this young man. But it takes much faith to trust in God in this way. Much faith, much trust, much hope, much waiting on the Lord. We see the heart of the father. He did not trust his son, but he did trust God. He trusted God, who was right there with his son the whole time, who could do the deeper work by the Spirit. Secondly, we see the father of the lost son. It tells us a lot about our heavenly father, doesn't it? And our sonship in Christ. Notice that the father's joy, notice his grace, his mercy, his compassion, all this places him in control of the situation. The father was the one aware of the deeper work that was going on, while the son was ignorant to it. He was just hoping to return home and get a job as a servant. But the father was looking in the direction where he expected his son to return, expectantly, anticipating a work of God. And so when he saw his son, he ran to him. The father laid aside all decorum and dignity of the day to go meet his son, who was likely barefoot, dirty, and in rags. See, in these ancient times, wealthy landowners never ran. That was a work for a servant, particularly in public view of the villagers. It was degrading. But the father didn't care. He put aside all the traditions of the day. He was rather unorthodox, we would say. He put the customs and decor down. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. We might consider on the son's long journey home that, as we might have done when we have a confrontation or something coming up, we rehearse what we'll say, don't we? We say over and over in our mind, okay, this is what I'll say to Dad. Maybe I'll gain a little bit of acceptance if I say it just right. Maybe he'll let me be that servant on his farm. But his father didn't even give the chance for him to say that, did he? His father ran to meet him while he was a great ways off. Maybe in the distance. You know how you can see someone very far away just by their gait, the way they walk? He knew his son. He knew his son's gait. He could see him like on County Road 3 and said, "That's my son. He's coming home." And the son spoke the truth, didn't he? "I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." This was true. But the father's undeniable love told the son that he was secure in his sonship. The son didn't have to ask, "Father, am I your son still? Will you let me be just a servant? I'm not asking for sonship. Just give me a job." But the father's love was so abundant, so plenteous, so gracious, so forgiving, so merciful, he couldn't give his rehearsed speech. See, the father's love determined everything. His love established a path ahead. By the love of the father, restoration and reconciliation were not just dreams in the young man's brain, but they were now his reality. See, this is our Father in heaven. Don't we have a good Father? The son thought he was in control. He had the plan. He would come home and get a job. He had no thought of being restored as a son. But he was not in control, just as we are not in control. The Father is. Because while sin does have a power, they are nothing compared to the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiving blood that cleanses, the sacrifice of God's only Son that breaks our hearts, making us ready vessels for His Spirit. What a Father in heaven we have. Amen. Do you know this mercy? Have you tasted this compassion? This is our Father in heaven, the Almighty God, the immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful. He's a victorious warrior, commanding King of kings, mighty conqueror, awesome Lord of every nation. But it's this same Heavenly Father who rules the planets, is the one who runs to us, takes us in His arms, holds our head to His chest, wipes the tears from our eyes and says, "My son, my daughter, you know I still love you." Amen. You know, in our world and our flesh gives us lots of things to love, doesn't it? Lots of idols, lots of games, lots of self to love. But may the Spirit of God do a quickening work within us and help us with unveiled eyes to see what a gracious Father we have, who welcomes broken, humble, contrite sinners home. May we be humbled by the love of the Father today, and may we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and praise. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank You that You have given us a clean heart by the love of Jesus Christ, His powerful cleansing blood. And we confess to You, Father, that we are lustful, we are selfish, we are proud, we are dishonoring, we are angry. Oh, wash us, God, from the multitude of our sins as You promised to, and lead us in the life everlasting. Search our heart, God. Try us. Know our anxieties. See if there is any wicked way within us and lead us in the way everlasting. Open our eyes to see Your grace, Your love. Increase our love for You, that anything else in this world we love would just grow dim, so dim, and You would grow brighter. Oh, once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now Thee alone I seek, give what is best. All this my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to Thee. And now we take a moment to individually confess our sins to You.